Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, it's good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. It looks like our administration and our government for years have never had enough activity overseas. It looks like they need to keep looking. You know, there's a lot going on in the Middle East and a lot of problems, and that hasn't been settled. But it looks like there's more antagonism around China and Korea right now. You know, news just yesterday was that the Delta Force and the SEAL Team 6 are moving in with plans, and they're not secret plans, they're announced plans that they got to wipe out and take Kim Jong-un. And it doesn't seem like that's following the pattern of never tell your enemy what you're going to do. So the question is, why are they doing this? But there is a buildup. There's some military operations going on, joint military operations in South Korea. 290,000 South Korean troops that we finance, as well as over 10,000 American troops that are involved, along with these plans, or at least the announced threat that we're going to take out Kim Jong-un. And, of course, the questions raised is, I wonder if China cares. You know, China might care about this. And we need to find out whether North Korea won't like it, but are they capable of doing anything about it? And it could be an accident. So it just seems like escalation is so unnecessary under today's conditions.
Yeah, no, there is the element, like with NATO exercises on the Russian border, there's the element of a provocation in these new exercises that the U.S., Japan, and South Korea are conducting. You know, as you pointed out, SEAL Team 6 and the Delta Forces are there. The U.S. is also permanently stationing a drone division there that is capable of going into North Korea and striking the command and control systems. F-35s are going to be taking part, as well as B-52s and B-1 bombers capable of dropping nuclear missiles. So that's really a full dose, a full panoply of U.S. military might being brought to the forefront on North Korea's borders.
But, you know, with activity like this, you can understand why we have to tax the people more to build up our military. You know, this is all in defense. Of course, our government announced that this is all defense. You know, like somebody's going to invade us. But that's always the excuse. But to me, it seems like it's a lot of provocation. You know, why are we doing this? Is it unnecessary? You know, I've talked about Korea many times over the years and talking about the foolish policy that we have there, because I remember it so clearly. 1950, not even really 5 years after World War II had ended, all of a sudden we're in a major fight again. But at that time, it wasn't the Congress had anything to do with it. It was Truman following the laws or the resolutions of the United Nations. One of the earliest thing this peace organization did was really precipitate the Korean War, and then we went along with it. That was in June of 1950, 67 years ago. We've never had a peace treaty, and my complaint always is, why are we there? You know, we lost in Vietnam. We marched out, and Vietnam does pretty good, and we do pretty well with them, and we deal with them, and they became westernized, but not Korea. We were there to keep the peace and look at it. It looks like somebody wants to have another Korean War or restore it, since there's never been a peace treaty.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's an article just the other day, White House is considering the use of military force or regime change for North Korea. So all of these things send a signal. And, you know, we're not here arguing that North Korea is a bunch of angels, you know, not at all. And they have been firing missiles. They have been testing missiles. They're looking for an intercontinental range ballistic missile that could hit the U.S. They're looking for all these things. The question is, why are we going over there to provoke this and to push this and to push them? First of all, we announced we're going to take him out, and then we complain that he's paranoid.
You know, yesterday we talked about, giving more authority to our generals in the field, making major decisions. But there was also an announcement, you know, in the last day or two where Trump is giving more authority to the CIA to do things that actually Obama tried to not get them to do it. But they're getting more authority. So we're talking about the Delta Force and the SEAL team. But also, we hardly ever do anything when we have an overthrow of government. Sometimes we just get involved in their elections, believe it or not. We have the CIA involved, but now we have the Pentagon generals out there doing things. We have these kind of military operations. We have the CIA involved with less communications. Before, it was emphatic that, yes, the CIA does launch a lot of drone missiles, and they're sending more drones over there. But there was this pretense that, well, we're going to assess the military necessity by at least the Pentagon reviewing it, but there'll be less of this. It just seems to me like it's opening up the door for something terrible to happen, you know, some accident. You have that danger, but you also have the danger of people lying us into battles. You know, if they really want to take this guy out, with all our ships being put over there, we've even talked to the Japanese to become more militarized than ever. They're sending, I think, a carrier into the South China Sea. The Chinese don't like this. The North Koreans didn't react as a bunch of pussycats about this. I mean, they talk this way all the time. I really think they're paper tigers, and that it gets overblown, just like the danger of Saddam Hussein was way overblown. And yet he's capable, you know, with all those ships around there. And if he has to prove himself as the tough guy defending the sovereignty of North Korea, you know, a little accident now and then, a ship may go down. But just look at the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, we staged all that. It just 68,000 people died over this. Americans died because we got into that war based on a lie.
Yeah, and you're right. You wonder if these are provocations that are designed to get a reaction from Kim Jong-un, to let him do something stupid and then allow something to, you know, to continue. You know, the Chinese, you asked earlier what the Chinese reaction has been, and they've actually been pretty calm. They tried to broker a deal last week between the U.S., South Korea, and Japan, and North Korea. They called it freeze for freeze. If the U.S. would cancel these big military operations, I believe are going to go through the month of April. If you cancel these, then North Korea will cancel its ballistic missile tests and its nuclear tests. Well, the U.S. rejected that right away. They didn't want this. They had these things already planned. And so did the South Koreans and the Japanese, you know. And I think this is another example of what really is a moral hazard of them knowing that we will protect them no matter what they do. It gives them license to be more provocative in their own neighborhoods.
You know, I think the biggest joke is that the argument that this is all defensive, and the American people buy into this. They get convinced. They show what a monster the guy is, and that there's a great danger. And actually, when you add up all those troops, there's 300,000 troops. Do you need 300,000 troops to take care of North Korea if they attack somebody? What if they did send a missile to Japan and there was a need to do something? Well, I'd like Japan to take care of it. Yeah. But 300,000 troops there, and we're over there. I just think it's more offensive in many ways. It's not defensive. It has nothing to do with defending American interests. Could be if you have a broad definition of American interests. You know, we want to run the world. It's the interest of the empire, and it's our interest, if you believe in imperialism, in that we are especially appointed as the peacekeeper, that it is only America's power that keeps the peace. And yet there's some that could make a pretty good argument the way that we throw around our power. It is the enemy of peace. It is the instigator. It's the precipitator of instability. And instability exists. It's in the Middle East like it's never been in many years. And now this does not create stability. And your mention about China, you know, maybe an opportunity that maybe there would have been maybe more stability if you'd say, okay, maybe we should do that. But no, I think what we're seeing here, and with the changes in rules for the CIA and the Pentagon generals and these military buildups, I would say the best word to describe this is a significant increase in instability in the region, and it's very dangerous.
And this is the thing that I don't get. You know, Trump talks about other nations having to bear more of the burden of their own defense. This is a perfect case in point. just as you pointed out a couple of minutes ago, if Japan and South Korea were forced to bear the entire burden of their foreign policy and the military implications of their provocations, I think they would back down. I think they would find a solution. They'd probably work with China to find a way to defuse the problems in North Korea, maybe even turn it into a market for Japanese goods.
I think the more interesting speculation is, where's the deep state in all this? Because, you know, there's evidence that the deep state is not monolithic, and Trump has challenged it a bit. And yet some of the things that go on looks like the deep state is alive and well, you know, in that they win some of these battles. And they're the ones who, you know, really wanted to increase the fighting with Vietnam and the deep state. And those who had their special reasons got us involved in the Middle East, in the constant wars and all in Syria and Ukraine and all these places. But right now there's a little bit of confusion, but it seems to me like the deep state is very much involved. I think the neoconservatives aren't exactly extinct yet. I think they're still very influential, and I think they're influential in this administration. And just why, you don't know, whether it's a philosophic decision or whether there's some pressure put on the administration to go along with the pressure that the neoconservatives wield.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Kim Jong-un may be an irrational person, doesn't strike me as the kind of person I'd want as a neighbor. However, you can't argue that he's not behaving relatively rationally given the situation. You know, he has a hostile neighbor underneath him, or, you know, south of him. They're putting tons of weapons everywhere, and he's reacting by showing off his military forces, too. That seems like a fairly rational response.
Now, one thing that the administration may be reasoning, it might not be too rational, is that it's not a big problem because, Kim Jong-un is not exactly the best ally for China, and therefore China is not going to react. And I recall very clearly, though in high school, I can remember, the invasion by the UN forces to go in, and hey, they were very, very successful. And each day in the newspapers, they'd have a map of where our troops were, and they essentially conquered the whole peninsula in no time at all. But they didn't know what would happen, probably didn't anticipate, and they were caught off guard, and the Chinese moved in. And it was a big surprise, and boy, the South Koreans were, then the map reversed itself down to just a very, very small tip of South Korea, where the government existed. And of course, the war continued and continued. But I think the underestimation back then could occur once again, because do we know absolutely? I keep arguing that it's going to be tougher for us to get into a hot war with China, because we're so much better off. We're trading with China and all. But how much will they tolerate? Countries don't like their sovereignty a threat, and when they talk about that, they're serious. They mean this. That's the way the talk of our country is right now. So they're talking about North Korea. They'll go to the mat in fighting if their sovereignty is seen and loses credibility. Same way with China. If they interpret this of moving these very, very powerful missile radar systems into Korea, they're going to feel threatened too. So predictions are not all that reliable right now on what would happen. And it may be, and this is where I think is going on, is that the administration doesn't have a plan, you know, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 6 weeks, you know, to carry this out. I sort of hope I'm right on that, yeah, that it's not that close. But I think it's just sort of ratcheting up things, you know, and sometimes they think, well, maybe the people themselves will rebel and get a better government. But they tried that in the Middle East, in Iraq and other places. That's not going to happen.
You know, I think you hit the key word, miscalculation. You know, all of the experts can miscalculate very easily.
So what do you think is going to happen? What is your opinion about the situation there?
Well, I saw a recent study that they look at the odds of something major breaking out, and I think they went up to like 40-some percent in the next couple of weeks. For what it's worth, I hope they're wrong, and I hope you're right.
Well, thank you, Daniel, and I want to thank our audience for being with us today. I know this is not top of the news today. The snow is a big issue today, and also medical care is a big issue, and they are, and they have to be dealt with. But we did want to bring this program to you because we think it's significant and hopefully it doesn't get out of hand. I hope there is no real serious plan to, really escalate the conflict between North and South America. But as I pointed out before, I think the conflict exists there. It's been there for 67 years, and I think it has persisted. And the amount of dollars we have spent, hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, financing this conflict between North and South, that one of these days we're going to wake up and say, you know, maybe we ought to just mind our own business, and maybe we ought to just leave like we did in Vietnam. And we won so much more in a period of peace when we left and quit the war than we ever gained in war. And I would say that's what we need in Korea. We need to get out of there. The neighbors can take care of things. The South Koreans are more powerful. And the responsibility, moral responsibility and political responsibility of the people over there in that region. So we still argue the case that for Americans, for the American system and for our national security and for our financial reasons, it is in our best interest to mind our own business, and I'd stick to my argument, it's time to bring our troops home. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.